And the one thought I had this morning before we began worshiping the Lord is this, you know, sometimes just a reading of a verse or a psalm, you know, sometimes, you know what the psalms do? They worship the Lord and their songs. In fact, you know, ascribe to the Lord his greatness. Give him the praise due his name. Very simple. You know, it talks about his voice. It said it twists the mighty oaks. Whatever there is that's going on in our life that seems bigger than we can handle, God is bigger. And because he's bigger and he is the biggest, he is worthy of praise. He's always worthy. We could praise him. In fact, I'm sure we're going to praise him for, you know, time is going to be gone in eternity. It's forever. Amen. You can praise the Lord forever and it's still not enough. And we're going to have the opportunity to do that. Isn't that a positive thought? There'll be no more limitations to what we experience here. And one of the things I guess the thought that kind of brought this about was, you know, we get tired down here. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get spiritually exhausted. Has anybody here ever been exhausted? Sometimes if you get naturally exhausted, it seems to affect you spiritually. And the same thing is true. If you're having a spiritual battle, you feel tired physically, right? But you know what? The Lord's bigger than all that. And when we worship him and give him praise, I tell you what, he picks us up. And part of being edified and being lifted up, just like the word says, do all things unto edification or for the building up. And you know, there's a verse there in Jude that says, but you, brethren, or brothers and sisters, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's something that happens in prayer to where you get something that you didn't have until you've gone out and actually spent time with the Lord. And you know, that affects our services when we come in here. Each individual who prays for this service will have a profound effect on what happens in this service. You know, we're still on TV. And Brother Phil is the one that's edited and is put on TV, you know, and there's a need for that. There are people that write in all the time, and they're saying, I'm looking for a church, and I can't find one. This is my source of help and strength and encouragement and fellowship. The word is very important. And even though, you know, nobody likes all the big lights when they come on, I don't particularly like it. But you know what? It serves a purpose. And we're not here for us. We're here for the glory of God and because we've been called according to his purpose, and we need to be led by him. This morning, I went out and I was thinking about the service, and really, you know, there's all kinds of needs. Everybody knows that. We have personal needs. We have other needs we're praying for. We always need to be led of the Lord when we come together. You know, we need to be sensitive to his spirit, and that's why we need to all be praying, because that sensitivity is heightened when each member is engaged in that. The Lord has a way of making the services flow in a certain vein because he's the head of the church. But it's a body. And so if it's a body, you know, just like you have different arms, fingers, legs, eyes, nose, all that, it works a certain way. But when one is a little out of kilter, it affects the whole body. We need each other. We need each other, and we need the Lord placed in the gifts in the body, the way it pleased him. So when he places those gifts there, when you come in here, every time we come together, you're bringing a part of what the Lord gave you. And when you are in touch with the Lord, what he gave you, you're able to operate in the capacity in which he called you to. Amen. It's not always behind the pulpit. But I'll tell you what, there are people that will never say a word behind the pulpit. There are ladies in here, some dear saints. They pray. I'll tell you what, I know there's saints here that prayed for me when I was a little kid growing up. I'm still little. Now I'm a gray-haired child. That's all right. I see Sister Mildred there, and Sylvia, others, Susan, my mom. And see, if I leave somebody out, whoops, if I leave somebody out, I'm going to feel bad about it. But you know what? The Lord sees each one of his own. And there are women who may never speak. There's some that can. If he calls you to exhort or give a testimony, come up. But here's the thing. In their closet, they are praying, and God is answering. God is answering things now that may have been prayed 50 years ago. He is a God that does not lose track of prayers and prayers that go up. He's God. The reason why he's worthy is because me and Benjamin were talking about this earlier. They called him God for a reason. He's the Lord. He is over all. He's only over all. He sees all. He hears all. And he's worthy of all praise. because he's worthy, and we assemble here together and to worship him and praise him. And the reason why I was thinking about the thing that sometimes Bible verses exalt him, you know, just the reading of a psalm or whatever. But I had gone out to pray this morning because I was thinking about the service, and I felt a little dry. Has anybody ever here felt a little dry? I know you have. What's really good is when you feel as dry as a rice cracker in Death Valley at noonday. Then you're feeling something. But you know what? The just shall live by faith. Amen. Us worshiping God and moving out in faith and exercising the faith he's given us doesn't hinge on our feelings. Amen. Our feelings have to answer to God. Yes. They answer to faith. We put that down. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. The word says we fight the good fight of faith. So we find ourselves in a struggle, and we're having to struggle how to pray. I know people to struggle too. I do too. And in fact, this morning when I was out talking to the Lord, I thought, Lord, I feel dry. I'm struggling. I'm reminding you, Lord, of your word to me. Lord, but I need you. Do we not need him? Yes. He told us to pray because our Father knows our need before we even ask him. He knows we're needy. He's not like, oh, are you serious? Are you really in need? You need me to help you again? He is our source. He is our help. But there's nothing we can do without him. Amen. We need him every day. That's why it's our daily bread. But I was out walking down there through the pine trees. But you know what? It pays for us to always look to the Lord and to the Lord through the eyes of his word and what he's promised us. Don't let the way you feel stop you from exercising yourself toward God. Sooner or later you might have a dry month, a dry day, or a dry year. You don't wait until the cup overflows before you worship him. You know what I mean? He said we offer up the sacrifice of praise from, that's the fruit of our lips, giving praise to his name. He is worthy. Amen. He's worthy to be worshiped. But I was walking back and forth, and the Lord brought a passage to me. Very simple, quite short. It's in Luke 5. And when I got back to the house, I looked it up. It encouraged me. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to run back there to the camera room. Okay, this is Luke 5. This is verse 1, I think, through just the first several verses. This is the account of the Jesus telling the guys to let down their net. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Praise God. Nothing like the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. There were a reason they were empty. They were empty. Okay. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. That means they're cleaning their nets. They won't clean the fish out of them. They were just cleaning the debris or seaweed or whatever, but there were no fish in those boats. They're over there washing the nets out. Okay, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. You ever feel like that? We all do. Praise God. This is what he says, though. But if you say so, Lord, according to your word, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And this translation says, exclamation point. That would be, you'd be getting excited. A shout brought help from their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and were on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord Jesus, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Listen to this. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that were caught, as well the others were likewise. You want to get awestruck? It's when we are in the place to where we're empty, we're needy, we see the fact that there's no other hope, and we've done all we can do, and Jesus says, let down your net. And we say, Lord, according to your word, I'm going to let it down. I tell you what, he has a way of awe-striking us. He has a way of encouraging us. He has a way of getting our eyes lifted off our situation and our nothingness and realizing what our source is. He is our source. He is our shield. He's our exceeding great reward. He's eternal. He's the Lord. He's worthy to be worshipped. And the thing of it is, he's always listening for our cry. Do you know when you praise him this morning, he's listening. He said he dwells in the praises of Israel. He dwells here. You know what? Jesus said that. The Father dwelled in those praises. He is such a great God. And no matter, I guess what encouraged me when that passage came back to me, I thought, Lord, it's not about what we have. What if our boat is empty? He's our supply. Yes. And it's not until it's empty that we realize the strength of our God. Yes. That's the thing. That circumstance is just as necessary as him filling the boat up or the net up. It's being in a place where we recognize that without him, we can do nothing. And then when that happens and we look to him and say, nevertheless, Lord, I'm still going to trust you. He comes in and gives us what we need. And when he does, no man glories. They glory in the Lord. That's why the word says, if any man glories, let him glory in the Lord. What does it say at the end of the, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1, where it talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So, you know, we're beat down where this happens, that happens. I'll tell you what, it's so that man will not glory. God supplies our need. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. The thing of it is, he's always faithful. Jesus never fails. Amen. I mean, we fail a lot. And there's some people that are really good at whatever they do and say, man, that guy don't ever make a mistake. Well, he does. But here's Jesus. He never fails. Amen. He always sees us. He's always concerned. He is a part of his body. He's here this morning. Yes. All right? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. To think that Jesus Christ is in here. He's in here. He's in his word, but he's here. Jesus is here. He's here to heal, to set free, to deliver people from demons, the attack of the enemy, and everything else. And to help us grow closer to him. He can open up the eyes of our heart. He can teach us. He's worthy. I just wanted to say that this morning because as we worship him, we need to remember this. He's worthy of praise because he's the Lord. Amen?